Given the amount of information available on the Bering Sea pollock fishery, managing it is often a low-drama affair. Biologists plug their survey results and other data into a sophisticated model, adjust for uncertainty, and then determine how much fish can be harvested safely after a multi-phase review process. There's a lot of trust between these scientists, fisheries regulators, and industry stakeholders, and it's not uncommon for the North Pacific Fishery Management Council to adopt this recommendation without any adjustment. But this year, debate over the pollock quota was more heated than usual. The council ultimately went with the number offered by their science and statistical committee and capped the amount of pollock that fishermen can catch next year at 1.2 million metric tons. But not without internal disagreement from a third of its members and some strong dissent from a group that's usually absent at these meetings, fishermen. Here's Skipper Glenn Sullivan, who testified about what he saw on the grounds this year.
Safe to say I'm very uncomfortable being here. But I'm here because I'm deeply concerned with pollock stocks in the Bering Sea. And it's pretty, I think, unusual for a commercial fisherman to come to this setting and ask for a reduction in quota. But at the end of last bee season, I really felt that it was painfully obvious that we had taken too much fish.
Even though the 2012 quota is a little bit smaller than this year's, he wanted an even bigger cut. For the first time in 20 years, fishermen left over 100 million pounds of their allowable catch in the water. They also saw a spike in salmon bycatch, and they struggled with lower prices and high fuel costs. Mike Wiggins agreed that this year's conditions should factor into next year's management. He's a skipper on a catcher vessel, and he also ran a boat that was chartered for last year's National Marine Fisheries Service groundfish survey. In his testimony, he questioned the numbers that scientists were working with, saying that they got unusually lucky last year.
With the random sample, what you have is every tow you make is essentially a roll of the dice, and every once in a while you're going to get a Yahtzee. But what we did is we got quite a few Yahtzees back to back.
But fisheries biologists don't think that's the case. The model they use to assess the pollock stock factors in a lot of uncertainty, and the overfishing level is twice the size of the quota that they've set. Biologists have also suggested that fishing was harder this year not because the pollock weren't necessarily there, but because they may have been more spread out because of warmer bottom temperatures. Ultimately, with no hard scientific indicators to suggest that the stock assessment wasn't accurate, the majority of the council concluded that it would be a bad precedent to let a difficult season influence their management strategy. Dan Hall was one of those who voted against the motion to lower the quota. During questioning, he said that he valued the input offered by fishermen, but emphasized that management decisions need to be based on data.
I certainly acknowledge that we have leeway. We certainly have the prerogative to set tax according to, you know, or in response to ecological and social and economic factors. But we have an obligation to respond to the best available scientific information.
While the fishermen who testified didn't get the quota they wanted, they did get people talking about how their voice should fit into the management process. NIMS biologists are already looking into whether it's possible to incorporate fishermen's observations into next year's stock assessment. They're now studying the changes in the amount of time fishermen are having to leave their nets in the water and how much fish they're harvesting for their effort. A survey about this year's pollock fishery was also recently sent to members of the fleet. In Unalaska, I'm Alexander Gutierrez.